Good morning. Good to see you all again. So it's good to be in the house of God, isn't it? And we're going to start off by just saying some words of scripture together. We're just going to read through or pray through. It depends, doesn't it? Often scripture and prayer and reading are often the same, aren't they? Let's read this through together. I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth, I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. I will declare that your love stands firm forever, that you have established your faithfulness in heaven itself. Amen. Amen. Good words there. All about faithfulness and about, yes, God's in heaven, there's control there, but there's also that connection with us, isn't there? And I hope we're feeling that this morning, and as we go on with worship and singing, that should be magnified as we go on. Our first song will be I Will Enter His Gates, and then we're going to carry on, we're going to sing a second song. So after singing one song, often we sit down, don't we? I always have to say, oh, can you stand again? So we're going to do two songs. I Will Enter His Gates and then straight into Majesty, if that's okay. Brilliant. Let's worship God. Stand if you're able. Enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his gates with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad, he has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. Living in my heart, I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad, he has made me glad. I will rejoice for he made me glad. He has made me glad, he has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. You know, it's true, isn't it, that we sing these words and we know they're true. Sometimes we don't always feel it. Sometimes we've woken up and maybe we've had a difficult week and maybe we're feeling a bit tired, maybe we've got cold like I have this morning. I won't come too close. But you know, God is good and his goodness is true, and it should and it can reign inside our hearts. Sometimes emotions are there, sometimes it's good to respond to them, but you know, there is a truth, isn't there? That God is good and God is with us. And if we allow that truth into our lives and into our minds, then in all situations we can rejoice. And our next song, Majesty. What a wonderful song. Our God is good. It's good that we've got a good God, isn't it? You know, we didn't have much say in that, did we really? You know, it's good that we've got a God who loves, who cares, who's called each and every one of us individually. Majesty. Thank you.
Unto his own is the throne, his anthem
great. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Majesty, worship His Majesty. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings. Majesty, worship His Majesty. Unto Jesus be glory, honor, and praise. Hallelujah, Lord, praise Your name. Majesty, kingdom authority flows from His throne unto His own, His anthem raised. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Majesty, worship His Majesty. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings. Hallelujah. Thank you. Just going to have an opportunity to pray to God, to thank Him for who He is and for what He's doing in our lives as well. And we'll have a chance to pray for concerns that are on our hearts, prayers for intercession later on. But now let's just lift up to God something of our appreciation of who He is in our lives. It could just be a word, you know? It could just be glory to God. It could just be something that's happened to you during the week. Let's just worship God now. An opportunity to pray and to worship our God. Thank You, Lord, that You are here today by Your Spirit. We thank You that You have called us as a body together in Your church. Lord, You are over all and in all. And as we thought earlier and mentioned earlier, You are good. And Your goodness is beyond compare, Lord. And we thank You for allowing us to know some of that in Jesus. And in Jesus, all Your goodness, all Your power, all Your wisdom and might were there and are there now. So hallelujah, Lord. We thank You for Your call in our lives, for Your graciousness towards us as well. Be with us, Lord, as we continue our worship to You this morning, our drawing close to You, our opening our hearts to You. Amen. Amen. We've got another song. Lord, I come to You. Oh no, hang on a minute. So I was getting the musician excited there. She was thinking that wasn't quite what I'd planned. I have got something else before that. Here we go. I was going to do an interactive talk, but at the last minute, I thought, you know, I have got a bit of a cold, you can tell, can't you? Well, praise God, I'm here, and I'm feeling strong. But I thought it was best not to get too close. So I've got a bit of a quiz, kind of. And it's all about what comes next. Now, you might have seen one of these things if you watch sport programs and things like that. There's often, I think with the football, it's like, what happens next? Well, I managed to find some clips that weren't football, so it's a little bit more inclusive, but here we go, same idea. So let's look at the first clip. Here we go. I removed the sound, but there you go, there's a dog there. No, it's not having a fit, I don't think. I think it's sleeping. has anybody ever seen a dog doing that? Yeah. Well, what? I know they do, don't they? What happens next? What happens next? Does the dog spin round? The dog bites its own tail? The dog runs into the wall? Let's see. Okay, answer C. So well done, those of you who guessed answer C. The next one is some karate guy. I think it's karate. And he's doing what karate guys do, or girls. They love to smash down those bricks, don't they? So there we go. He's getting ready. Look at that. Making sure. What happens next? Now, I could pause this for a second. Here we go. Or maybe not. What do you think is going to happen next? Is he going to miss? Are all the bricks going to fall down? Or is he going to punch through them? What do you reckon? Yeah? I do this every morning. I do this myself, actually. No, I don't. Did that look painful? It did, didn't it? It really did. Answer A, yeah, he missed. After all that, that is just brilliant, I thought. As in, wasn't brilliant for him, I'm afraid, but it's life, isn't it? So, yeah. And gets you thinking, doesn't it? You know, we live in a world where things happen, yeah? Week to week, day to day, moment by moment, yeah? And we don't always know what's going to happen next. Do we? But we do know who holds the future, and that is God. Yeah? And we know that God is good. And also there's a verse here from Isaiah, all about trust. And in a Christian's life, you know, at times we find it hard. We find things, when things are changing around us quickly, we do have doubts. We can get anxious. But the Bible encourages us to trust. And it says here, trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord himself is the rock eternal. Rock eternal. There you go. We have. You know, there's that old Sankey song, isn't there? Has anybody ever been to one of the Sankey group songs? There was a group of churches, I think more eastern in Northamptonshire, and they all used to meet together. Did anybody used to go along to that? Yeah. It's a generational thing. I think I started going right towards the end, but there's an old song that you might remember. Yeah, he is the anchor. Yeah, yeah. Okay, and it's true, isn't it? God is our anchor in an unstable, unsteady sea. He is there. So I just want to encourage you with that. Now we have got another song. So, I give you all the honour. I give you all the honour. And do actually be thinking, I'm going to be given an opportunity to pray again. So, do think about things that you'd like to pray for, things that are on your heart and mind. Often it's good just to mention first names, possibly, if you want to mention names. You can also do that quietly as well during intercession. So, but we're going to sing a song now. I will give you all the honour. Thank you. If you can stand and you're able and willing, when the music plays, it's always awkward when you stand up first, isn't it? It's like, oh, stand up. Oh, they haven't started yet. I know it well. Thank you.
praise that's due your name, for you are the King of glory, the Creator of all things, and I worship you, I give my life to you.
Like I say, I just an open time of intercessory prayer. Don't feel shy. Could just be a word for someone who's on your mind. It could be in silence. Maybe you want to pray silently. Maybe there's something that's on your mind for yourself or for someone you know. So feel free. We're in the house of God, and God wants us to feel relaxed in his presence. He's our Father. He cares. So let's bring before him now our thoughts, our requests. Lord, we thank you that you are here with us. We thank you for the worship that we've been able to join with. And we thank you, Lord, for the fact that you are here with us, joined in our lives and in our hearts. We pray for more of that, Lord. So now, Lord, we just bring to you the concerns that are in our lives. Lord, we heard earlier that the whole world is in your hands and that we can trust you. And Lord, we bring before you now our prayers. Both silent and spoken. Tony. Lord, we pray for that chap who had a heart attack at church or near church last week as well. We bring that person to you. We pray that you strengthen them and help them at this time. Amen. Lord, for the life of your church here as well, we pray your blessing as this church, Lord, is a beacon for your goodness and your life in this area and around, Lord. I pray that you would help each and every member to shine brightly for you, both now and in the days ahead. May you be lifted up and honoured in everything we are in you. Bless this church, Lord, as it continues to think about the future as well in various ways, and guide and lead and help the leaders here, we pray. And bring new people in, Lord. Bring people who need to know about Jesus in the days ahead. Amen. Amen. Lord, I come to you. Let my heart be changed, renewed. How many here have been a Christian for more than 5 years? Yeah, I think that's it. Has anybody not been a Christian for more than 5 years? Wow, brilliant. Excellent, brother. Good to see that. You know, God moves in our lives, doesn't he? And I don't know when you... Do you remember when you first became a Christian and how exciting that was? You're reading the Bible and that gift of new life. And, you know, whether you've been a Christian for 1 year, 5 years, or 90 years, that work that God is doing is still exciting, isn't it? And he still does that. And at times we need to have our heart and our lives renewed. We need to have our direction adjusted a bit, just like when we first became a Christian. It's an ongoing thing. And that's what this song's about. It's about how song is about how God is with us for the long haul, you know, is with us for that journey of life. So let's stand if we can. Relax. We're in the house of God. If you're a bit tired this morning, stay seated. Let's continue with our focus of worship. Lord, I come to you. Ah. It's on the screen, isn't it?
And
power of your love. Lord, unveil my eyes, let me see you face to face, the knowledge of your love as you live in me.
Today's reading is from John, chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called to the bridegrooms aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first and then the cheaper wines after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have served the best till you have saved the best until now." What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and the disciples believed in him. This is the word of the Lord. Amen.
Thank you. This is good. It's a Bible by the placed by the Gideons. They're good, aren't they? The Gideons. They're still going strong. That's good to see. That was the first Bible I read, actually. I was about 19. I did get it at school. I think you get it when you're about 11, don't you? Something like that, or used to. But yeah, I used to come home from being a bit wayward when I was younger. It was a little Gideon's Bible. Marvellous. And now I'm here, picking up a Gideon's Bible. There you go. Give me a second or two here. Here we go. So our text today, as we've just heard, was from John 2, 1 to 11. It's a story about Jesus changing water into wine. I will have another bit of water, actually. I am a bit dry today, as you can hear. Hopefully you didn't hear me singing too much. Yeah? Good man. But yeah. In the world today, there is a real need, isn't there, for something to change. There's a lot of brokenness around. There was a prayer. Thank you. There was a prayer for the situation in the world to do with wars today. And it's not just that. There's everything. There's a lot of broken. There's a lot of beauty in the world, but there's a lot of brokenness as well. And we need to see a change, don't we? And we need something to speak into this brokenness. And it's not just brokenness of things, brokenness of ideas. There's so many anti-God ideas out there. You turn on the TV and, almost everything you read and hear is so anti-God. Occasionally you get glimpses where God's managed to get in there and there's the odd good thing to watch and consume. But usually there's so much anti-God, isn't there? We need an intervention. And, on the face of it, that sounds a bit kind of... The first things I said sound a bit depressing, don't they? Oh, it's all doom and gloom. Yes, but the thing is, God is there. God is good. But we do need an intervention. On a personal level, too, even being born again, we had someone who's become a Christian recently. Hallelujah, praise God. But whether you've been a Christian for 1 year, like I said, or 90 years, being a Christian doesn't mean we're going to be perfect all the time, at least this side of eternity, There will be times when we don't align with God as much as we want to. Maybe that's losing our temper as we're driving somewhere and we're getting a bit frustrated because we're short of time or something like that. Maybe it's somebody does better at work than you, and maybe you become a bit of a green-eyed monster, a bit of jealousy creeps in. And, on their reflection, you think, oh, I know I shouldn't be like that. But actually, at times, we do let ourselves down, Let's not beat ourselves up too much about it, but it is the reality. We're not perfect, are we? But we are. In God's sight, when God looks at us, he sees Jesus. And also, God is working on us from day one as well. And also, guess what we do have within us? We do have God's Holy Spirit with us. So there can be a difference. Yes, we can be overcomers. Yes, we can live that straight life. The trouble is it's difficult because we don't live in a perfect world and we've still got these bodies that hold us back at times. But praise God. This is where God's mighty power and situation-changing grace towards us comes into play. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In this Bible passage we have just heard, we see the beginning of the miraculous side of Jesus' ministry. Jesus came to put right all that is not right. That's basically what his ministry was about. Yeah. Jesus' intervention at Cana provides an insight and a mirror into seeing who God is and what God's about, and also how he works and can work in our individual lives as well. The wedding at Cana was known to be, Cana was known to be a wine producing area. Yeah, it was famous for it. So I suppose at the wedding, it's no surprise there was plenty of wine at hand. Yeah. But also, wine was a positive thing in the culture and in the place and the people at the time. Yeah. Wine was much enjoyed, but in people's mind, it was a positive symbol of joy and celebration and God's blessing on his people as well. And it's no surprise that wine was on offer at this wedding, and probably over several days, which was the custom. Yeah. However, just as the wedding was looking like it was going to be a social success, hey, they had Jesus coming. They had a young rabbi that was up and coming. Remember, Jesus only started his ministry, just really. And a few of his followers and other people were there. So it was looking quite good. And then suddenly, the wine is running out. Yeah? Which would have been a disaster, really, socially, for the people who were involved.
The wine had run out. Now, there had been no miracles yet in the ministry of Jesus. Like I said, he had a few followers, and he had recently read a messianic scripture in a synagogue announcing his messianic mission. It's quite big. People would have been talking about it. Yeah? So the expectation on Jesus for an intervention, this kind of intervention, probably wasn't high yet. They hadn't seen him do any miracles. Yeah? Maybe they expected him to say something. Yeah? Or maybe go and offer to buy some new wine from somewhere else, perhaps. But they weren't looking particularly, I don't think, for a miracle. Yeah? Unless he really was the Messiah, but yet plenty of people had come before with that kind of expectation and hadn't proved to be the Messiah. People are quite rightfully sceptical of those kind of things, yeah? And we need to have a healthy scepticism. But yet, Jesus was the real deal, wasn't he? And we see it here as this continues. You know, it's a fact that in this imperfect world we find ourselves in, a lot of things can and do go wrong. Here at Cana, it was the wine at the wedding. And Jesus steps up big. Jesus' mum now comes into the picture. Mary encourages Jesus to step into the fray and solve the problem. After a pause for thought, he instructs the servants to fill six massive jugs with water. Much to everyone's astonishment, as the liquid is poured out of the jugs, what comes out is wine, and the finest of wine as well. And with that, Jesus performed his first public miracle. In practical terms, Jesus saves the day and allows the wedding to continue as a success. You know, I'm just reminded now, a couple of weeks ago, I did a message about Jesus' temptation in the wilderness. And just as a matter of interest, one of the first temptations of Satan was to turn the rock into bread because he was fasting. Yeah? You might remember that. I wonder if that would have been on Jesus' mind when he was there performing his first miracle. He was doing something with food again, wasn't he? It's funny how Satan likes to twist and likes to get into our minds and maybe spoil what is going to be good. Anyway, Jesus is bigger than that, and Jesus knew what he was doing. And the first miracle, as we see, very, very symbolic and very meaningful, changing water into wine. But I just thought I'd mention that. It's interesting as you look at scripture, you know, do actually read it with an open heart and an open mind. I do agree with those theologians that say that you can sometimes look too deep into scripture and think, oh, is that date right? What about the culture there? What about this? We weren't there, right? And I think one of the best ways to do it is to manage the two ideas, manage the history and so on, but also read it with an open heart. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide you as you read the scripture, and he will reveal things to you. But there is more to this than just helping people involved at the wedding save face. Think about the symbols and the parallels. Wine is seen as a symbol of abundance and blessing in those days. In fact, it was one of the signs for the hoped-for messianic age. Jesus had just read the scroll. He'd said, look, guys, I'm here. You know, I am the Messiah, basically. It was a huge thing. And here he is, turning water into wine. And we can read from the scripture there, from Isaiah. On this mountain, which is a messianic scripture, which was known to be messianic, on this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, best of meats, and the finest of wines. Wow. At that time, and still today, we live in a world where there is a need for intervention. The truth is that at this wedding, the wine was running out, reflected not just bad planning, but the brokenness an imperfection that we see about the world in general. Yeah, really does. Getting a cold, that's part of it as well, isn't it? Yeah. I don't think there's going to be colds in heaven. I don't know. But I don't think so. You know? Things are going to be a little bit more perfect. That brokenness is going to be healed. Yeah? And if you read the Bible, I think it reads quite clearly that it's going to be quite comprehensive, that healing. What Jesus was doing through the miracle was demonstrating that he was the answer, not only to lack of wine, but ultimately he healed the divide between God, humankind, and take away the sting of death and the brokenness that that brings. The divide that had started when mankind turned away from God in the Garden of Eden was going to be fixed. God was announcing by this miracle that Jesus was ushering in the start of the Messianic age. Olam Haba, according to Jewish speak. I was talking to a liberal Jewish rabbi on a train the other week. I was in Israel before the trouble started, I may add, and had an interesting chat about that. And there are different views, but Olam Haba is the Messianic age, the new age to come. And, you know, it will be an age of blessing and abundance like no other. As well as an abundance of things, this age will bring in a supernatural change for good for the whole of creation. No more war. Worldwide belief in a true God. Everybody will acknowledge who God is, Jesus, including the nation of Israel as well, whom God has blessed us with the knowledge and the continuance of the knowledge of God throughout the ages. Yeah? And many wonderful Bible stories as well. Yeah. Who likes David here? He's good, isn't he? I like David. Not perfect, but good. There we go. No more death. Creation will be healed from the effects of death. You know, that Bible story, that story of God interacting with his people will come to an end and it will be good. Jesus at that time was announcing that he ultimately was the Messiah. And by his action, he was foreshadowing what was to come. He's going to make it right. Notice some things also about this miracle as well. I'm just hoping I've got everything down on there. Messianic age, I think that's right. Here we go, yeah. Notice a few other things about it as well. And the passage tells us there were over 100 gallons of wine, basically. Those six massive jugs would have held hundreds of gallons of wine. That's a lot of wine. And when we read that the wine was the best as well, we are actually reminded, aren't we, that everyone brings out the choice wine first and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now. So, you know, that's what was said when Jesus produced the wine. This was good wine. Jesus provides the best, and the same is true today. The Bible tells us time and time again in the Gospels, the world can provide a few pleasures, can't it? It can, yeah. A nice bit of pate on toast, you know. Good times, you go to a theme park and you enjoy going there, enjoy going to a museum, having good conversations with friends. But, you know, Jesus provides the best. Jesus provides the best. He really does. You know, I remember when I first became a Christian, my life was okay. I had a bit of a social life. It wasn't perfect, but it was there. I had to give up a few things, but you know what? That is true. Jesus comes to bring life and life to the full. When you turn to Jesus, he blesses you with that. He doesn't make it perfect all the time. You know, we'll still have difficulties in this world, yeah? But he blesses us as well, and he wants us to have life and life to the full. Think of all the brothers and sisters you've got here, yeah? Are you feeling lonely today? You've got brothers and sisters in Christ who love you and care for you as well as God. That's a blessing, isn't it? Life to the full. Jesus was perfectly at home at the wedding feast. He loved to share the happiness of others. You know, there were some religious people who shed gloom wherever they go. Yeah? I don't think Jesus was like that, do you? If you read the Psalms, I don't think the psalmists, particularly David, but all of them were like that, were they? They knew how to rejoice in God's presence. They knew how to have that joy within their heart. They knew that secret of enjoying life and life to the full. Maybe they didn't all drive Rolls Royces, they went around then, but even if they were like golden chariots perhaps, but they had a different kind of enjoyment, a different focus where they got their enjoyment from. It wasn't from wealth, it wasn't from popularity, it was from their closeness to the living God. I want to encourage you today, you know, you are a success in God's eyes, you always have been. We need to hear that sometimes, don't we? I've lost my place a little bit here, but don't worry. Jesus valued children as well, didn't he? You know? I love that idea that Jesus loves us to be, he wants us to be open. Yeah? He wants us to enjoy life to the full. He wants us to keep that childlike aspect to us. Not that we're childish, yeah, and foolish, no. God brings us on, you know. God matures us, hopefully, as we go on in life. Helps us to become more gracious ourselves in our thinking, how we judge others as well. But, you know, God likes that childishness as well. There's something about children. He loved it, didn't he? He had children to come and visit him. I imagine Jesus at a party would have been open for people to visit him, you know. And, yeah, the example Jesus calls us, he by who he was and what he did, he calls us to partake in the good news. And he gives us an example of how we can partake as well. And part of that is having hearts that are open and responding to him. Sometimes, like Jesus, that might mean not turning your nose up, joining the lost where they are as well. Yeah? Has anybody here ever helped with feeding, say, people who are out on the streets and they need food? Has anybody been to a food kitchen? Lovely. Okay, and maybe others as well. But it's not just that as well. An example of this, I can remember myself, is when I was an A-level student in the 1980s. And I was at college, and I was living in a shared two-bedroom flat, and I'd just become a Christian, just literally become, through reading a Gideon's Bible, actually, and then I sent off for another booklet. So it was all quite new to me. And a friend of mine invited me to a small party. He said, "Oh, Dean," it's a friend that I had beforehand, "come along to a party. We've got a small party. There'll be some marijuana there as well," and so on. And I was thinking, okay. I was just trying to give up smoking normal cigarettes at that time, actually. But I went along, actually. I decided to go. And the reason I went was because I didn't want him to think I was now stuck up. I'd become a Christian, and I wasn't friends with him. And I wouldn't do the things that I would have done before. So I went along. And, you know, it was a good opportunity. And, you know, I had a chance to explain to people there why I wasn't smoking the drugs. And I said, "Well, you know, I've changed. I've become a Christian. But don't let me stop you enjoying yourself." You know, so that's how I handled it. I was a new Christian. Would I have done things a bit differently? I'm sure I would have said things slightly differently and maybe been a bit more mature about it. But do you know what? I think it was the right thing to do. I did pray about it. I prayed to God, "God, help me, lead me, and use me, and instruct me." And I believe he did. Yeah. God calls us to be in this world, not of it, but he does call us to be in this world. Jesus was at a party, wasn't he? They were drinking wine, enjoying themselves. Jesus wasn't some person who was saying, oh no, I'm not going to be doing that. But yet Jesus was showing people another way whilst he was with them. And that's something, you know, the wonderful thing is Jesus calls us to be part of what he's doing in the world. Yeah, he's left us with his Holy Spirit. We aren't Jesus, right? But we do have the power of the Holy Spirit within us. So at times we can show people glimpses of God's goodness, even if we don't feel good ourselves all the time. That's the power of God in your heart and in your life. And that's God's power. And that's God's grace. There we go. It was Jesus who said, didn't he? You know, it's not the healthy that need a doctor, but the sick. In the new age to come, there will be another wedding, and it's called the wedding supper of the Lamb. At this wedding, we believers are the bride, and the groom will be Jesus himself in a metaphorical way, but in a very true way as well. It will be the best time ever. The Bible describes this time as being a time where God's relationship with his creation will be restored. Remember, we're talking about the brokenness at the beginning of the message. Yeah? Fixed. Done. He'll be like the bride bonding with Jesus in a wonderful way for all eternity. The church and Christ will be brought together, and the things that we can imagine are not good enough to even begin to reflect on what this time will be like. It will be a time of restoration, a time of healing, an abundance of good things. And you know what? Then surely we will say, like our reading, that someone has saved the best wine until now. Let's just reflect. So today we've thought about, first of all, God's ways. God's ways are awe-inspiring. Are you awed by God? Be awed by God this morning. You know, he is an awesome God. And he offers us a life of fullness. Not perfection, but fullness if we open ourselves up to him. God in Jesus invites us to share that life of blessing with others. Yeah, be inspired by Jesus and how he interacted with others. Be inspired. If that's not you, then maybe God's got another calling on you. We are all individuals as well, and God knows us all, yeah? God doesn't want to put a yoke upon you that is so heavy that you can't bear if you're not a social person. But you know what? God wants to encourage you to get involved in different ways in this world around us. And God will show you how you can get involved. Maybe that's praying for others. Many different ways. In God, the best is yet to come. That's definitely good. It's quite nice to be here today and get a nice cup of coffee afterwards. Yeah, I'm sure it won't be wine, I don't think, but a nice cup of tea with a bit of sugar will be very, very nice. But the best is yet to come. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we've heard a message there. We've heard and we've thought about a story, the first miracle that Jesus performed. Praise God. Let's just have a moment's prayer. Lord, we thank you for your word. And I pray, Lord, that you would bring into our hearts and minds the good messages from that you would like us to keep and that will benefit us. Lord, if there's anything that isn't helpful, I pray that you just let it drop by the side. But we thank you for your word, Lord, and we know that your word is powerful. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, which works within us as well. Help us, Lord, to be your people in the days ahead. And we thank you for Jesus, the source of all goodness. Amen. be thou my vision. Have you still got some song left in you? You've been singing a lot today. Yes, you have. If Emmy can, don't all stand at once. As soon as the musicians, our wonderful musicians, by the way, thank you for stepping in. I know we're a little bit light today on musicians, aren't we? But I think they've done a wonderful job. Thank you very much. And we've got this wonderful song to sing.
O Lord of my heart, if you can, stand. And we'll sing our last song.